The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. Good afternoon and welcome to Nailed It. My name is Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And we are here today to talk about some very interesting things in construction. We have a guest in the studio today and we're very pleased to introduce the listening audience to Mr. Avery Lightborn of ART Development, which is a very progressive construction service providing company. And he's going to tell us a lot more about what products and services they offer the public and how they're trying to revolutionize construction in this country. But say good afternoon to the guests.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Good afternoon to the wife and kids.
So let's dive right into it. So construction is predominantly something that we know a lot about and at the same time we know very little about. Well, let's talk about how we do construction here in Bahamas. Let's talk about concrete, right? Concrete is something that we think we understand. We think we know a lot about it because we've been using it for a long time. So we did a little bit of research. Let's talk about what concrete is. Concrete is a composite material composed of aggregate bonded together with a fluid cement that cures to solid over time. Concrete is the second most used substance in the world after water. Didn't even know water was actually considered a material. Yep. Second to water. And is the most widely used building material. Its usage worldwide, ton for ton, is twice that of steel, wood, plastics, and aluminium combined.
Right.
So this world is built with concrete. Now, why is that important? It's because to have reinforced concrete, you have what we just first described as concrete, but you have to put something in it to fortify the concrete. Traditionally, for the last 100-plus years or so, we've been using reinforced steel. Avery, introduce the Bahamas to the revolution technology and what are we doing now with reinforced concrete?
Well, thank you very much, Leonard, and thank you, Debbie. Yeah, so fiber reinforcement polymers have been around for some time. We could date it back to, I guess, around the 60s when it really came out as reinforcement, if you do the research on it. And that's what I encourage everyone to do. And what they discovered was that it has a longer time. It lasts a longer time. It's a quarter of the weight to work with. It's very easy to work with. You have a lifetime guarantee on it, on sustainability. It's a green product. And it's open now to the market because of, you know, the environmental concerns we have in our world. More people are using sustainable materials in construction and just in everything that we're building, we're using more sustainable materials. So fiber reinforcement polymers are used in a lot of applications.
Now, Avery, before you get to high tech for our listening audience, let me swing over to Debbie 1 second. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, before I go to Debbie, I'm going to ask you what it is, then I can go to Debbie. So what is this fancy thing you're talking about with this fiber polymer thing? What is that in short?
Locally, we call it fiber steel. So it does this. Mm-hmm. It's the same application as the steel rebar.
What is the fiber? What fiber are we talking about?
We're talking about fiberglass. Fiberglass. Yeah, glass fiber reinforcement.
Okay, good.
GFR.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So can we say that why it's so efficient and so green for the environment? Because based on my limited research, isn't it actually a byproduct or some other?
Sand.
Silica.
Yeah.
So you're taking the waste product of something else, which means that you're not, in Debbie's space, filling up landfills with this excess material, the XYZ. You're putting it through another refining process and creating a material that reduces landfills. Right. Is that something we can look at?
Which is basically the ultimate in going green.
Yeah.
Because you are using something that would have
normally get disposed of. Yeah.
And you're turning it into a product that not only you're turning into a product, but you're turning into a product that will help us with a problem, a huge problem that we here have here in the Bahamas, which is cracks.
Cracks and swollen concrete.
Yeah.
So every talk to us about what prompted you to go. I mean, you didn't certainly just wake up one day and decide, oh, I'm going to be the supplier of, you know, fiber, you know, rebar.
I'm an entrepreneur. I look for trends. I didn't go to college abroad or anywhere else. Well, police college, if you go a lot.
That comes.
Law enforcement. So security, I guess in security, you learn all of these things. But what prompted me was my entrepreneurship zeal and to know that I was not going to leave the Bahamas. And the world is so big, but yet so close to us that I can find innovative things to do and bring it to the Bahamas to make our country better. So this is not my first rodeo with an innovative product. I've done several of them. And this is just one that I know that the needs that it can fill or the problems that it solves are dire and more in need than the rest of things that I would have touched.
Right. Now, so we were talking before we went on air about one of the major things that happens in construction here that is in our control or beyond our control, right? And so this is what happens. This is a scenario. A person has had their house built. 5 years later, they call you back and they say, my house is falling apart. What have you done? What did you do? Everything is cracking in my house, right? Everything is cracking. And then you look at the what has happened, and then you have to explain to the person that, number one, we the sand that we use here, everywhere else in the world, uses manufactured sand.
Washed
sand, yes. Well, you know, if you live in the middle of Kansas or Arkansas, there's no ocean there.
No.
So, you know, it's definitely a manufactured sand, unless you're going to have it trucked in from 2,000 miles, which, no, I don't think so. So we use that beach sand that has been dredged, that is the trucks go and meet the barge when it comes. They take it to your site. They take it to the block plant. They take it to everywhere,
and
right?
And we use it. Yeah.
And we use it. So we use that to lay our blocks. We use that to put brown on our blocks and finish on our blocks. And some cases, if you're mixing your own concrete and you're doing your own with your own mixer, you're using it in your concrete as well. So what happens is, because of the salt actually absorbs extra moisture out of the concrete or out of the mix that you've made, and therefore you have shrinkage. So when you have shrinkage, what do you have? You have expansion, and then you have so in the heat it expands, and in the cooler times, it shrinks, right? So you get cracks.
You get cracking.
And then everybody says, well, it's the contractor. You did a lousy job. Well, I don't have another material that I could actually use for that, right?
Yeah.
So it's not the contractor's fault.
And that's a good point you made up. And so imagine that combined with the fact that now you have steel.
Oh, I didn't even want to get into that part.
With water inside the concrete mist and salt, what happens with that?
It corrodes.
It corrodes, and you're going to have that problem. And like you said, it's not always the contractor's fault.
No.
Now, we have all had experience probably of a contractor that's working on toward, right?
Yeah.
And we're trying to mitigate that with this show and everything else that we're doing in the Bahamas.
Right.
But there is that fact that this happens.
And people have to understand that the steel that's in the concrete, they think, oh, well, it's protected because it's in the concrete.
No,
all you need is one little pinhole where the air can get in. And then all of a sudden what will happen is it'll start to actually corrode. And as it corrodes, it expands. And as it expands, the columns will crack. The belt course will crack.
Yeah.
The patio will crack. Whatever
everything
you've got
crack.
It in will crack. Right?
And that's the problem we've been having. I've had countless stories of people spending their pension on this.
And we also have groundwater that comes up, right?
Absolutely.
So when you have groundwater, if you're in, let's say, like Coral Harbor, an area like that where the water would be brackish or salty, right?
Yes.
Then that's going to be a problem with your foundation as
moisture,
well. Or even in the wire that you put in your floor. Because you put the visqueen down, but have you secured it enough so that those groundwaters will not come up and, know what I mean?
The good thing about that, though, and speaking about the foundation, we have less of an issue of foundation cracking usually only because the ratio of concrete mm-hmm. to the wire mesh is about almost 10 times the thickness of the wire mesh. So you may have a little bit of expansion of the concrete, mm-hmm. sorry, of the reinforcement with the wire mesh.
Yeah.
But you don't ever usually see it because you got 3.5-4 inches of concrete.
Well, it depends.
The challenge, though, well, you have to put it pretty close to the surface so you see that expanding.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But now when you talk about a concrete column, you got, last time I checked, you're generally about at most 1.5 inches.
Right.
From your rebar.
It's not 3 inches.
It's 1.5 inches.
1.5 inches to the plywood.
If you do the math on it, if you got a form that's only 8 inches, the wall is 8 inches 3 inches. No. The wall is 8 inches wide.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to clear 3 inches on each side, I'll only have 2 inches center to center to place steel. That's
right.
Not where our steel cages are.
Right.
Our steel cages are made up, let's say you wouldn't really go a 5 by 9. So that's 5 inches to the outside of the outside.
Right. Mm-hmm.
1.5 inches was that, an inch and a half is how much? 8 inches.
Right. Right.
That's your form.
I think they've changed it to 4 and 8 or something.
So they make them smaller now, four inches.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you close to 2 inches of cover
right.
on either side. But if you have a rebar that's 5 inches thick and that starts to corrode and expand.
You're going to see that.
Well, the first thing you notice is going to bulge.
Yep.
Right.
And the mm-hmm. bulging is tell you that that steel is corroding and expanding.
Yep.
And then it's going to force the concrete to crack.
Absolutely.
Because the concrete has a small, you know, expansion limit. Once it passes that expansion limit, it's going to crack.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
No, but how does your product defeat all of that and make it so you don't have these challenges?
Well, from an engineer's perspective, not mine, you could get within 1 inch of concrete, mm-hmm. right? You could put it within 1 inch of concrete and you're good for the rest of your life.
There's no expansion.
So that's a no-brainer for me. And so when it comes to affording the materials is they're affordable. It's one-to-one, basically, right? And the usage of it is one-to-one.
I don't want you to just glaze over that. Because, you know, we went back and forth on this cost. But I'll tell you an interesting. I'll tell you today. I was talking to a friend who's doing a development in Abaco, in Zuma. And I said, you know, how's things working out over there? You're doing some stuff. He said, yeah, man, things are going great. And he said, listen, we just got the best situation up enough for doing some work that we thought we need to bring in a crane to Zoom. He said, listen, we got that fiber rebar, two guys putting on our belt steel. He said, because we couldn't imagine it. We could put in 40 foot of steel that two guys could lift because it's not steel anymore.
And just
anymore.
Think of the time frame that would be cut down.
Absolutely.
So you answered my question, but I said, cheaper, you have to know how to do the numbers, bottom line numbers, right? And so where you have your manpower, you can still charge your labor costs. You know?
Yeah.
Your labor cost is your labor cost. So if you finish the job ahead of time, doesn't that look good on the contractor, right? It looks good on the contractor.
Absolutely.
You could be ahead of the project.
Yeah.
So your labor cost doesn't change. So imagine now you space out all of your people on the job. You're spacing them out adequately now to do more projects than people sitting around waiting for one guy to tie the steel for you to lift the truss up to the
efficiency of that should save you money. But you know, the Bahamian's going to always ask you the question. So what's the cost for length of, 40-foot steel, traditional, and 40-foot of your 5/8 polymer fiber?
My 40-foot is $45.
Okay.
$24 for a 20-foot length.
That's still pretty good.
Absolutely. And so we made sure that we were working on all cylinders. We got the tariff down, of course, because it's a green product.
Mm-hmm.
I fought for that and thank the government for seeing it as, I guess, qualified.
As a green product.
But they brought steel down too. So the steel people, they can thank me for that. But they're at 5% now. So you should have a decrease on the price of steel. But here's the thing, Leonard. I could have, and Debbie, I could have a bunch of this product on my site for however long.
No.
And I don't have to decrease the price.
Yeah.
So the cheaper, the price is going to go down with steel because it's deteriorating. So
you,
of course you're going
to
get it cheaper.
And
if I'm going to compare my product with a steel, let me compare it with the best version of steel, galvanized, right?
Yeah, galvanized.
Okay, what galvanized is now at like $38 or $25, $38 to $40.
Yeah.
Don't go on the island. You're paying $60 for galvanized.
Or the steel that is painted.
Yeah, that's all the coat. And then that's labor if you got to paint it.
Oh, I know it's more expensive, but I know you have to think about what other people are going to say. Well, they're going to say, well, there's also this and there's also that.
No, it is the galvanized what I'm talking about. That's the painted, that's the coated one. It's galvanized.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
They call that the galvanized.
So that's the logistics of it, right?
Yes. And so we have any number of applications that we can perform with this, one-to-one with steel, right? We're not into the I-beams yet, but I could tell you, They're coming into it.
Yeah.
Right.
It is going to come. So steel still has its place in our DNA.
So because you're on here and we want people to be able to send texts and we want them to call, we need to tell them how to get in touch with us here.
Okay, sure.
So if I could do a little bit of housekeeping.
Do some housekeeping, Debbie.
All right, so you can get us streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen to, on TV on Cable Bahamas 969, sorry, or BTC Flow Channel 612. You can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Text us on Guardian Radio, text line. This is important, 422-GR96, 422-4796, powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 or toll-free from the Family Islands at 242-300-5720. It's very important, listening audience. And I thank you so much for actually being on the other end of this, because the show would not be anything if it weren't for you actually being on the other end of this. Mm-hmm. And we really need your input. We are trying to teach and educate and bring up problems and solutions, but we need to hear your stories. We need to ask you to contact us and ask, even if you don't contact us on the show, but that would be better. Send us a message, right? Mm-hmm. Or contact the BCA, that type of thing. Or, you know, that's how important this is. We really need to make sure that everything that we do here, you're understanding. You tell us stories, we can come up with solutions. Yeah. But if we don't know, we can't help you.
So going back to this product that you have here, you know, I spoke to you several times about it, and I mean, you're really passionate about it. How do you make this something that everyone appreciates its true value? Because it's like we talked about at our last meeting. You know, you can't appreciate the value of something if you don't understand what it will do for you. You talk about the fact that there's a perceived value when you walk to a Mercedes-Benz dealership or you go to a Four Seasons Resort or any kind of luxury thing. You already perceive the value. I'm looking at your wonderful brochure, and I understand that this column, when they pour the concrete, is never going to crack.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that.
Right.
What does it mean for the homeowner who's going to get it? They take all their monies and they're going to buy a home. Well, what does it mean to them that they could make a choice that their product, their home is going to have none of the issues that many, many, many homes have today?
Well, I think it means a lot to them. It means a lot to me. When I see the persons coming in, like I said, with their pension, and they have to remortgage their home just to fix these problems. But all of this information, it's not from me. I didn't trump this up and start to say, oh, I'm going to bring this to the Bahamian people. Mm-hmm. We have the experts in the world. We're going to have on Richard Kraluski from the FRP Institute for Civil Infrastructure. And what Richard does is he vets. He has a regulatory board that goes around, contracted by DOT, right? And what they do is they vet all the companies that manufacture these products, right? And he's the expert in right now in this side of the world on this stuff, right? DOT uses him, contracts his company. And if you have his sign of approval, they will purchase from you, right? And so Richard Kraluski, he'll be in today to talk, and he's going to tell you a little bit about how these materials are qualified in the industry and where the world is going when it comes to these products, because we're behind the eight ball with this. A lot of people, the whole of North America right now, truckloads are going from our manufacturer at MST Bar. If Barnados are listening, hello, and how you doing up in Canada? But they have come to the Bahamas. They've been here to the Bahamas. They met with government officials, the private and the public sector, and we've ran courses on seminars, certification seminars, to say you've done the first level from the FRP Institute and given certifications to persons that would have attended a two-day seminar that we had last summer. So these are things that I'm not just trumping up out of my head as to what they can do. This is world standard. Mm-hmm. These are the codes that we follow, from ACI to ASTMs to ICCE. Mm-hmm. All of these codes have approved these products as use in our structures. And so I'm not bringing to you something that I'm just guessing.
These are
on the world
stage. So I think if you were to speak to somebody that built a house, let's say 30, 35 years ago, and ask them what have they experienced in time, their construction of their home, right? And how often do they have to have somebody to come in and do repair work on columns or belt beams or browning or, you know, cracks in the house, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you speak to somebody like that, they'll be able to, they would be able to say to you, you know, this would be a godsend. I wish we had known about this before so that we would have not had to fix the cracks and then have to prime and repaint. And it's just, it's such it's a nuisance. It's a nuisance.
Of ownership of your home. But I think these are the things that technology provides to the world. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to take advantage of where technology is. And so from the Bohemian Contractors Association standpoint, this is why we highlight our members who bring new improvements to the construction space. Yeah. And so we could offer it to the public on shows like this.
Right. Yeah. People who should understand that if they come to the BCA luncheons, it's not just to eat. That's it.
You get educated.
It's really, yes, it's educated.
It's very informative.
The last four lunches we've had basically green products
and
new products being introduced to the industry. And that's why it's so important for you to actually be a part of this association so that you can actually learn instead of actually having to go out on your own and try to research it. If it's already here and we've already done it, take heed.
It's a mandate that I mean, the country wants to go towards this. The world is going towards this. And I think this is a no-brainer. We have identified a problem. And it's an easy problem to fix at this point.
Yeah,
before
it's very easy.
Before it was given us,
it's just application.
Yeah,
just
that's it. It's an easy problem to fix.
I'm going to choose this polymer bar to use, or I'm going to choose rebar.
It's as simple as that.
Choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you want to, before we go to break, talk about our sponsors?
Thank them. I'll go to there in 2 seconds. I just want to. Who's this talking?
1 minute.
Oh, so I just want to say that I'm holding a piece of number 11.
Rebar.
Looks like a billy
which
club.
Which isn't rebar, which is the polymer fiber bar.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you, if this was a piece of rebar, I couldn't hold it one hand like this.
Oh, no.
Not a number 11.
Not the steel.
It's just steel for the listening audience. It's 2 inches in diameter.
Right.
This is a very, very big piece of steel, and I'm holding it like a pencil. It's moving around. It's solid as heck. I mean, you can't bend it. Right. But it has no weight compared to what this would have been if this was steel.
Absolutely.
So just imagine the contractors out there with their labor force reduced in half because they got two guys could put this inside a form rather than have to hire a crane.
No brainer.
To lift in a number 11 bar.
No brainer. You know what cranes cost lately?
Oh, $500. Too much, I can tell you. So before we go to our break, let me thank our sponsors. Our sponsors today are Arm Caribbean, CBS Bahamas, Pro Store, the aim to provide contractors and DIYers with an unbeatable service on a variety of building supplies. Located on Robinson Road, the Pro Store is open from Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And, of course, ART Development. We have in the studio today Avery Lightbourne, changing the way construction is done in the Bahamas from a structural standpoint, where you will not have cracking of any sort inside your buildings. That's what we need to talk about more in this country.
It's done.
We got too much cracking in buildings, and we now have a solution for it.
Correct.
And finally, ARM Caribbean, the leaders in refrigeration and air conditioning services throughout the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So we will be back after these messages. Thank you for joining, and we will get back to you after the break.
Mother sick this morning, crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Yeah, wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee fiber steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel puts to get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower wall crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Art Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, All you hear is... For the month of September, the Headspot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the Headspot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Rachel came to CBS Bahamas for some paint inspiration.
I was all over the place with colors. I needed help.
Our Pratt & Lambert Inspiration cards gave her all kind of color combination ideas.
I chose their serene color scheme for the dining room, their calming color scheme for the family room, ooh, and their poetic color scheme for the bedroom.
Come let Pratt & Lambert Inspiration cards help you build, well, paint beautiful. Visit the Pratt & Lambert Paint Center today at CBS Bahamas Southwest Plaza, Carmichael Road.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian FM 96.9. I'm here with Debbie Deal and Avery Lightburn. But we got an expert calling in.
Richard Kraluski.
Richard Kraluski. Please forgive me, Richard, if I totally botched that name. But welcome via airwaves to the Bahamas.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I have to say that Avery has been an amazing partner to work with. His insight, and I guess this idea that, by him going into this venture, I mean, I think the biggest thing he was concerned with initially was quality. It wasn't really a matter of having a new opportunity or creating a new, just another, entrepreneurial activity. I think for Avery, it was deeper than that. He was really concerned about quality and making sure that he was delivering a product that met all the applicable, codes and standards and other things that were associated with a variety of different construction methods. Also, I have to say that I was extremely impressed at the previous conversation. I'm a little intimidated, maybe even. I mean, you both seem to be extremely well versed in concrete and understand a lot about what we're talking about today. So that's. That's very helpful. So I guess to begin with, there's a couple of things, and I was listening to obviously the previous discussion, and a few things kind of jump out at me. I'll say that when it comes to the use of these materials, this was touched on earlier when it came to the idea of corrosion, and corrosion is obviously. In the Bahamas, my gosh, the Bahamas is, you're in the midst of the most corrosive,
absolutely.
Area on the planet. I mean, you're surrounded by water,
and
high salinity. Absolutely there. but the point that was made earlier about the corrosion and concrete cover and type of concrete that's being used and, how corrosion happens and occurs, really, I think that when it comes to the use of these materials, the concrete mix and the type of concrete that's used when you're using an FRP material, the types of normal things that would occur to create delamination or separation from these materials. I mean, no matter what happens, concrete is a porous material, as was stated. It is something that, again, it almost breathes like air. I mean, and again, when you have a high salinity factor, maybe in some cases a low cover, corrosion, with steel, whether it's galvanized, whether it's, black steel, epoxy coated rebar, or stainless steel, corrosion is going to occur. I've actually worked with concrete mixes that employ calcium chloride in the mix. And if you go back to the Roman days, reinforcement was never even used back, you know, in those times. So when you look at concrete structures now, whether it be, you know, the aqueducts or some of these other just magnificent structures that are still standing today, you're not going to find a single piece of reinforcement in those materials because they actually employed salt water into the concrete mix.
Makes it stronger.
It makes it stronger. So, so I guess the point is that, you know, the opportunity that presents itself in the Bahamas when you already have a high salinity sort of an environment and you are potentially employing, in some cases, maybe we can work on developing a more sophisticated concrete mix opportunity, but putting in a non-corrosive reinforcement element that is not subject to all of the things that general steel is subject to, you know, you're going to have structures, you know, that are going to go on for another life cycle of another 100-150 years.
So
and then the other part to that too, the other factor to consider is, you know, from a just an economic standpoint to the contractor, is that and I think this was also brought up, was the concrete cover and the amount of concrete that is needed to be used in some of these existing structures. Or no, I should say construction, you know, projects.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you know, here in the United States, the concrete cover is diminished greatly because of the use of these materials. So, you know, when you're dealing with a long-term proposition of a non-corrosive, you know, element that's going to last for, you know, excess of 100, 150 years, you take into consideration that this material, you know, again, the amount of concrete that needs to be used in concrete structures is completely cut down by, in some cases, you know, 5-10%. There's a massive amount of savings and economic value to the contractor or somebody that is employing the use of these materials in their structures. There's no question.
On the phone line.
Yeah. So, Richard, that's a great point you made, and I want to kind of ask you just a general question. It's just an observation of what you said, and we got a call on the line we didn't get to who probably want to ask you a question, is that it kind of suggests to me that given the properties of the high salinity factor inside the Bahamas, it would make sense that we couple that with a non-corrosive reinforcement bar. Like, it would be the natural thing to do, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I think the other thing to point out is that when you look at, let's just say, steel in general, and I don't know what the qualification opportunity is in the Bahamas for use of steel, but here in the United States, we have what's called Buy America, and Buy America is a rule that basically qualifies steel. So in other words, if it's imported steel, in most cases, the United States won't even accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, it can be accepted. However, there's very sophisticated mill certificates and other types of, you know, property values that have to be associated with those materials to show that steel has the, you know, what it needs, you know, in terms of its production value,
yeah,
to perform under the specific load values that are associated with building construction, bridge construction. So I don't know in the Bahamas what type of regulations exist, but I would imagine that, and I find this interesting, is that here we are, you know, we are the FRP industry. We put all our cards on the table. We hide nothing. All of our performance values, all of our engineering, all of the material verification elements, the shear, the tensile, the transverse shear,
mm-hmm,
we are held to a very high standard that in some cases the steel industry is not.
It's not.
So Richard,
right.
We have to take a call.
This is probably a call for you, so let me let them patch them in. Caller, you live.
Please.
Hi, yes, good evening.
Good evening.
You guys are talking about building structures and putting steel in some of these buildings, like it would be due today. I would like for one of you guys to explain how it is that, okay, the building that fell along on Blue Road the other day, how much years do you think that building was there? And I was made to understand it was built without steel, and the amount of hurricanes that already passed through. How do you explain that structure standing up all these years later?
Great question. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call. So, Richard, you may not have known that we had a very, very old building that collapsed, failed, total failure, last week or week and a half ago in Nassau. And what it was a structure that was built before we had the regulations that would require reinforcements in the columns and beams and what's not. And the substructure was masonry, but the flooring was wood, and it was a 4 or 5 story building. So obviously, to the caller, over time, that wood breaks down. It loses its support value and strength, and its self-load itself is enough to cost the building. If you look at the photos of it, it fell in.
Imploded.
Imploded, because pretty much the timbers for the structural support for the floors just gave out under their own weight. They just dry rotted and just collapsed after, 60 years of being standing. So those things, I think today, we don't have the same concern that we had with those kind of things happening, because the requirements is that you're going to have reinforced concrete, reinforced steel, beams, support systems that are definitely structural support loading.
There's a lot of buildings, though, that are in the Bahamas that were built with cut stone. And those buildings are still standing, and they will stand because it's the load factor.
Yeah, but
And they withstand hurricanes.
They cut stone and exterior walls. But the main failure was that the flooring system collapsed.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't talking about that building, because that building wasn't cut stone. If you looked at that, they were blocks.
They were blocks.
Yeah, but...
Well, Rich, we got another caller. Call you live.
Well, just real quick, I was going to answer that. I was going to kind of speak
go ahead,
to that
Rich.
Question.
Oh,
first of all, I'm only hopeful that nobody was injured in such a catastrophic, breakdown. But I go back to the idea of, sort of the... At the times, I guess when you look at construction in general, whether it's the Bahamas, whether it's some other obscure, place and in some cases, very limited resources. So I guess what I'm saying is that when it comes to the opportunities that at the time currently existed for construction practices, the advantages were taken as to what was available at that time. Mm. One of the biggest part of what we're doing with Avery in the use of these materials is not just saying, okay, here is a non-corrosive reinforcement element, good luck. It's a matter of saying, we are going to provide engineering opportunity. We are going to provide construction and building practices through the codes and standards that are most applicable to build an infrastructure in the Bahamas that is going to be safe, resilient, low carbon footprint, sustainable, all of these things. So, this last car was a great comment, and I appreciated it. And we're here to help all those levels.
Absolutely.
Sure.
We got a next call online. Let's see what their question is. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you all.
Good evening.
Yes. I do build, right?
Yes.
And like structural is what I love most, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to like using the steel, right? The rebar, steel rebar, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are, like when you transition from one stage to the next and offsetting to compensate for the cover, to maintain the cover throughout, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem we have in the Bahamas. And then you guys talk about the fiber reinforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the fiber reinforcement, right, even the guys that bring the light steel, right, is the cost, you see? The cost of the fiber to build use fiber bars is 3 times the cost of the steel bar.
Chime in,
well,
please.
No,
that's a major problem.
I don't think we have that problem here, Richard. I could take that one when it comes to cost.
No, please go ahead.
I'll let you chime in.
I'm telling you, I experienced this.
Yeah.
It seems like only these materials are only for high end jobs.
What's the cost of a length of 20-foot steel now? Just to be
the bars, right? The bars, the length of steel could be double the cost, right?
No, I mean, what is the cost now? We're looking at
the studs, right, and the bends, the other stuff, right? It's 3 and 4 times the cost.
Well, $24
by 20 foot.
It's $24 a 20-foot length. That's the cost of the fiber. 20-foot length, $24 Your stubs, you're starting $4, $5 for a 4x8. When you talk about the corners, you're talking maybe $6, $7. The stubs and the bends are more expensive than the straight bar, of course. But we got bends up to 22x22s, and they are costing, I don't know, like $12 maybe, mm-hmm. for any of those 22, those big bends. But the cost is right now, I would say the cost is cheaper than steel. I don't know if you're just hearing about it, but three times, maybe back in the day it was that, but it was 10 times.
Yeah.
Of all the various sizes and stubs, you know, and like say the T's and, you know, and in the corner.
No,
you can't find these things. You need to get in touch with this gentleman.
Avery has them now.
I have all of it.
He can give you his phone number and you can contact him.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then you're going to see that the prices are the same.
You see, I've shopped everywhere.
Well, you haven't shopped with him.
The steel boss is now doing the five, and they still can't compete.
What's your name? What's your name, sir?
I'm Gardner.
Okay, you live on the island of Nassau. You can contact me at 557-5814. 557-5814.
I can tell you right now. I can tell you for a fact, right? 80% of the homes in the Bahamas, construction in the Bahamas residential, is done with the conventional bar.
I know that. This is a new product that this gentleman has brought to the Bahamas and is selling. And the price is...
And that's an issue. And then the conventional bars is not being done right because they're not giving the fabricator enough work. They're not giving them the offset work to transition from the intermediate to the columns.
They could have transitioned any time they wanted to in the past.
That's the problem.
Yeah, Mr. Gardner, you give me a call, 557-5814, and I am 557-5814. And you could text me with your concern.
Gardner, we got to go to the next call.
And you know, Avery, his concerns are they're obviously general. And I think that anytime you have what is deemed to be a new opportunity or technology within construction, there's when you're used to doing something in one particular way for such a long time, I completely sympathize with this gentleman and understand his concerns. But I do believe that, given the opportunity here that we have with there are no supply chain disruptions. There's an absolute abundance of these materials that you have that are shipped to you as you need them per project. I mean, so when we look at projects and we determine the amount of bends and stirrups, lengths of material, diameters of material given the specific project, MST bar is a platinum certified, FRP Institute certified, supplier of material that is intently understands what it is to send X amount of material for a specific project. Mm-hmm. And so again, there is no issue with any of these things. I think, obviously time will tell. Projects develop and we move forward with more sophisticated large scale projects. I think that these issues will diminish, if not completely disappear, within a relatively short period of time.
Richard, just to that point, I remember 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to do the first ICF project that I did here. And the cost was astronomical. Mm-hmm. So I would have been in the same position talking about how the high cost of ICF would have made it not something that's feasible for the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that cost has come down more than 50% in that time. So it becomes more feasible to look for if you're looking for a strong hurricane wind resistant structure. I would tell you ICF.
Yes.
Is it more costly than traditional? Absolutely. Right. But not more costly in the place where you don't have a real comparison. So can I spend a couple dollars more and get ICF or I stay traditional with concrete and block? So we got to go to the next break. And Richard, we're very, very pleased that you was able to hang on so long with us because I know you're very busy and have to run to another segment. But we absolutely love the information that you shared with our listening audience and our public. And we're glad that Avery has teamed up with you to bring this revolutionary product to the Bahamas.
Thank you, Rich.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate it.
Hey, y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
Don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing a breakup wall. FIP's the new steel in town. No salty air would ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIP's in our future.
For more information on FRP Concrete Reinforcement Products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hurricanes are unpredictable, so make CBS Bahamas your one-stop shop for hurricane preparedness. From top-quality, impact-resistant windows to emergency generators and camping stoves, you'll find it at CBS Bahamas. They've got coolers, waterproof storage containers, toolkits, tarp, and duct tape too, plus flashlights, work gloves, rope, rain gear, cleaning supplies, and batteries for everything. If it's on your checklist, check out CBS Bahamas, CBS Pro Store, or CBSBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM here with Debbie Deal and Avery Lightburn talking about revolutions in construction. Boy, the off-air conversations is just, you know, contractors talking shop. That's all it is.
Yep.
But honestly, you know, part of why this conversation is so important is because we're here to demystify and debunk myths about. We started the show asking you, what was the cost of a length of the fiber rebar, and what was the cost of a steel rebar?
Right.
If you buy rebar enough to know, you're talking about literally on a 40-foot length, less than a $2 difference.
Yeah.
That's nothing to scream about.
Right.
If you're talking about a lifetime product.
Right.
That won't corrode.
Right.
Against a product that will corrode. And you're talking about a $2 difference.
And something easier to handle, so it'll be less labor.
We have to acknowledge this, though.
Mm-hmm.
New things take time to become accepted.
Correct.
Right? That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all are that way.
Yes.
We don't like to change. We like doing things.
Yes.
But I think when we start to see that there's additional benefits to doing the new thing, it catches on the wildfire. You were talking off air about the fact that, you know, you went to a lot of steel providers, traditional steel providers, and say, hey, listen, this is the future. This is what you need to be doing.
Yeah, I had the seminars. I sent out the invitations, and I still will welcome them to the table to do it because I think it benefits the Bahamas. See, if this was just about money for me, I would have gotten in with some of those persons who wanted to invest in this and just, you know, hike up the price and stay with a niche market. Mm-hmm. My main goal is that I see, and I'm one of those persons, that home ownership may not have been a reality if I had not focused because I had nothing left for me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And that's how we grew up. And so my thing is, I've seen the cracks in other people's homes. I've seen the cracks in the homes that we would rent. We never owned our own home. We grew up in a trailer home. And coming into this industry now and into this business, I see so much pain because you're talking about people's lifetime investment that they're putting in, and it may not be valuable to you as the contractor as it is to them, but they're the ones who have to spend the bank, spend the premium, the bank,
to pay the mortgages.
And
you can actually drive around and see the persons that really can't afford to actually do the maintenance. And the houses are just deteriorating underneath them. And basically what will happen is the house will pass on to somebody else.
And they have the headache.
They will have the headache.
Debbie, again, economics is a serious thing, right, for me. You're going to be a repeat customer if I get into the steel business. Because you're coming back. In this climate, you're going to be a repeat customer. With this, me promoting this, you're not a repeat customer. So the pricing is unbelievable for people because they say, well, how you can make it if it's a one-time sell? Maybe the contractor will come back to you again. But what you're selling this to a consumer, you're selling this to a homeowner, they're not going to come back to you anymore unless they're building another structure.
Well,
so you're talking about, go ahead.
When you sell steel to them, it's a one-time sale.
Well,
you think it is because guess what? I mean, they have to cut these steel out sometime and then they have to go and put in new steel. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But it won't be all the steel.
No, it wouldn't be all. Again, like I said, I believe that every Bahamian should be able to afford this in their homes because that's probably the one time that they can afford to build a home, and it should be an asset.
Let me ask you a question.
You shouldn't have to build a house twice.
Never.
So let me ask you a question. I'm going to get into your business a little bit because you know me as a person. Yeah, I'm going to get there. Avery, has this fiber steel been incorporated as a standard reinforcement in the several new government housing subdivisions that are under construction in the Bahamas right now?
Not as yet. No, it hasn't as yet. I have made mention to it to the ministry and talked about it. The ministry has to go also through legislation to get these things certified.
But you said yours is approved. So
it is approved.
Why?
It is approved.
So the question is, you know, we're trying to make a product last forever for the smallest group of persons who could just generally can't afford to repair the things, right? I would think that it would make good sense to have those homes specified because it is Department of Housing.
Yes.
Give them the gift of specking fiber.
Who's there? That's Minister Bell?
No, Madam Jobet Colby Davis.
No, I think Minister Bell is there at housing now. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, my apologies. I'm mistaken.
She's at BPL.
I'm just thinking you gotta have a house. It's gonna be something that you wanna keep it for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Government sponsored, facilitate the land and all the stuff, and you're getting that at a good price. You want it to last forever until you can pass down to your children. I think, you know, the fiber rebar should have been something that would have been a part of the construction.
You're right.
When you think about storms like Dorian,
right?
And you look at the government subdivisions that basically just blew down like Huff and Puff and blow your house down. Mm. And we now have these products that are cost effective,
resilient.
That you can use because the person who can least afford it are the ones who end up having to pay double for everything because they couldn't afford the better quality in the beginning. So
that's
if
the
government actually did
this would cause
for
them
housing.
Yeah. I think it's a no-brainer if they you know, if you want to win.
You know, this is where the education from the Bahamian Contractors Association to the general public about products and services that can aid their lives in a more meaningful and impactful way. So I just want to be the first to say that Minister of Housing, look at using fiber rebar in all government
standard
residential housing products because you're going to give the homeowner a gift of no repairs for a lifetime. And I think that's a huge
You know, I get pushed that. I was on the Howard Grant show the other day and I told him the first government subdivision that he does, right? I pushed it out there to whoever was there. Mm-hmm. I would donate for the first 2 to 3 bedroom home, all of the rebar.
Oh, man.
From the mat.
I'm going to write that down.
From the mat to the belt. From the mat, I would donate all of the rebar from the mat to the belt for one home.
So if you think about this, we had a storm here, a hurricane here in Nassau, and it came from the south, which is odd for us.
Yeah.
And if you remember Yamacraw, all of the houses there were basically halfway up the house was
I lived under, there at the time,
was underwater.
I lived there at the time.
And now the work that has to be done on those houses because of the steel reinforcement, can you imagine if these new houses that are being built by government did not have that? And even if they're in a flood zone,
they still wouldn't have
a house exploding with rusted
concrete. I think Debbie's my head, because I made the same charge to someone was asking about hurricane and how does it withstand hurricane. And I was like, you don't see hurricanes coming just the houses flatten if they are on concrete. You see roofs blow off
but not
a house flatten.
Right.
So I was saying our concern is flooding. Flooding should be our concern because you're talking about the salt water now soaking in that concrete and it's porous, of course, so it gets to that. And only a matter of time you're going to see those cracking and splitting happening because we have to worry about that flooding. You have a product now that doesn't respond to acids and alkalines and all that salt. Why not use it? It's affordable. This is like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Why? Hospitals, you're talking MRI. MRI facilities where they have these machines, x-ray machines, non-conductive, non-corrosive, made for hospital and ERs and places like that has these machinery.
So even getting your internet through the house when you've got so much steel.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
And I really think if government is listening, that they really should consider
it.
This because we understand the large population that we have that cannot really afford to have a house, to be perfectly honest.
You
can drive by the houses afterwards and see that they haven't done any landscaping or anything because that was all
they could afford. Yeah.
So if government has this opportunity, and if they don't want to buy it from you, I mean, which they should. If they don't want to, if they want to do it themselves, buy it from somebody. Yeah. But put that in the houses.
Yeah.
And it's here now.
Absolutely. Debbie, I can expand on something you said when we were at the meeting at the contractors BCA yesterday, right? We were talking about the insurance companies.
Yeah.
This should be a drive for all of those homes because they're using these products. Because you talk about the deterioration factor when you talk about costs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now the banks are not a real estate company. They don't want to hold on to these houses that are deteriorating. But at least now, if they have these homes, at least the banks can look at better premiums. The insurance company, better premiums, better mortgage rates. Because now you know that this house is not deteriorating. You're not going to, this is an asset now rather than a liability.
Right.
And so that's every government home in the
world. These are all the smart reasons why fiber steel, what do you want to call it for short?
We call it fiber steel in the Bahamas. fiber rebar.
I think one of the things I think we want to leave the listening audience with understanding is that it's the exact same insulation process of your regular steel bars.
No different.
The only difference is this product is green. It is the same quality output you will get, except for it's better because it doesn't corrode, doesn't rust, it will not cause your structure to crack. And that is the number one thing. Debbie, I can tell you, I know your business around. You do more repairs on cracks and houses and stuff all over this island. You can't get enough of the work of doing it because that's what's happening everywhere.
Right.
Craps.
You gotta fix columns.
And unfortunately, the contractor gets blamed
for the cracks.
Although it has nothing to do with the contractor.
Yeah.
And that's one of the myths that we have to try to dispel, because when a client comes to you 5 years later and says,
Contractor didn't do a good job. Look at my walls cracking.
But it's... People have to understand what we're using as products.
Yeah.
You know, we're using...
It will cause this to crack.
The
steel
will
oxidize, corrode,
and
expand and crack.
But we could give some people some credit, though. Mm-hmm. We have some contractors here now. They're not using anything else.
Really?
They're not... Yeah. But I mean, my guys down in Eleuthera, down in the North Spanish Wells, they were using galvanized for all their structures.
Really?
Not anymore. They're not using... Because they see this product does the same thing, even more, right? And it easy to work with.
Yeah.
And so what they have gone, and locally here in Nassau too, guys, like, it's just a no-brainer. They're sold. They're like, mm-hmm. why aren't you shouting this from the mountaintop?
But you are. But
we are shouting from the mountaintop. The 96.9 yeah. Guardian Radio mountaintop.
From the mountaintop. Thank you, Guardian.
But yep. Listen, so Avery, we want to thank you very much for bringing this technology to the Bahamas. And we really hope that, first of all, let me say this. All of the contractors in the Bahamian Contractors Association need to transition from traditional steel to the MST bar, fiber reinforcing bar. That's the first thing. Secondly, all of the government projects should not be being built right now with traditional reinforcing bar. They should use the MST fiber reinforced bar. And finally, all of the government housing projects should be using MST fiber reinforcement bar.
We have enough.
Provided by Art Development. Listen, you got trailers enough. And trailer loads of it. Just,
and they could come in trailers, not flat rocks. Trailers,
exactly, yeah. Because of the weight.
Yeah, so transshipment. Cheap,
the
cheap,
entire
cheap.
Bahamas with it.
Yep. Right. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Leonard. Thank you so much, Debbie. I appreciate you having me on the show.
You're welcome. This is the whole purpose of us doing this show and starting to do this show is just for that reason. We know that there's problems and we know that there's solutions, but our luncheons are amazing, but we're not going to be able to reach everybody at the luncheon. That's why we're doing this, so that we can, whoever's out there listening, you may not even be building a house, you know, but you might know somebody who's building a house and you hear something, you pass this information on. That's what we need to do in this country is make a difference and pass it on, right?
Absolutely.
Everything you learn and know, share it with somebody else.
Yeah, sharing is caring.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the end of the whole thing, I think one of the things you should feel very good about is that you didn't keep this information to yourself.
Right.
You thought that this was big enough for you to offer everyone inside the Bahamas. And I was very impressed and very pleased. One of my friends in Exuma said, listen, I just got my shipment from Avery and my project is going good. You got the guys inside Spanish Well using it. I want the guys down in Miguana everywhere.
Yeah, I got Miguana Monday. Miguana shipment
there we go.
Is Monday. So Miguana, Berry Islands,
Eluto. And I want to tell you, transition takes a while, but when it happens, it happens all the way. So we wish you all the success. And we know that this is going to transform the homes in the country for the very, very best.
Right. And thank you again for our sponsors, CBS Pro Store, ARM, Refrigeration and Air Conditioning, and
Art.
Development.
Asha, the acronym is Asha Rachel Tatiano.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, that's my children. No. We're going to go with art. It's much easier. So we thank you, the sponsors, because we can't do this show without you. And we really appreciate the audience that's listening.
Absolutely. And
you know, going to send us texts and stuff later on saying, boy, that was a good show, or you should have said this, or whatever. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Y'all need 2 hours, Debbie.
Once again, this has been Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. We'll see you next week.
Good night, Bahamas.